Welcome to Christ Today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us, and thank you for forgiving us for the eternal consequences of our sin. Thank you for helping us to repent and to change our ways. Guide us to holiness, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Holiness. Is 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," says God. And Acts 2:38 reminds us to repent and be baptized. And Revelation 2:5, "Repent, or I will remove thy candlestick." And we don't want our candlestick removed. Light. And some say that it's the discernment that we have towards the things of God is that candlestick. But whatever it is, we don't want it removed. So read the Bible and get familiar with it. And as we get familiar with Bible and reading, it just happens that Scripture comes into our mind. Mostly when we start out on our walk with God, we don't have Scripture memorized. But we learn more Scripture as we pursue God. And as we change our heart, see, that's another part of it. Our decision to align our heart with God, that's another part. So, our Bible knowledge grows, our knowledge of God grows, and that's the path that we get on once we start down our path toward and with God. The Bible tells us to be not deceived, and knowing Scripture is a very big safeguard to keep us from being deceived. There's lots of deceptions in our world, and sometimes there are people who are trying to deceive us, or groups who are trying to deceive us. I mean, just think of cults, or maybe even churches, some churches. And sometimes we want to deceive ourselves, like we might want to justify our own desires, improper desires. So other time we will just look after the things in the world and desire them. That's called lusts of the flesh. It might be fancy clothes or money or a new car. And if you go back in the Bible, you think of Achan in Joshua chapter 7. He lusted after silver and clothes and gold. And he wanted those shiny things of the world. He wanted them so much that he chose to disobey God, and consequences were given. Yeah, the Israelites, they found him out, and they stoned him to death. The Bible tells us that very many in this world will go to destruction. That's what the Bible calls it. And in Matthew 7:13, we are told, "Enter life through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Yeah. There's people who don't want to hear this kind of talk in the world. They just can't hear it. And I understand, because in the first half of my life, I wondered about that same things. But I didn't want to hear the problems and that there would be destruction. Nope. I considered these things to be, well, kind of like foolish talk. But the more I studied the Bible, and the more my heart and understanding changed. And now the Bible is how I view the world, God in the world, and how I relate to the world. We all start someplace, and we all get to a point where we're growing and growing. So that's what we want to do. In the last broadcast, I spoke about my experience in an Eastern Bloc country, an Iron Curtain country, East Germany. And that was about 50 years ago. So I thought further about that experience after the broadcast, and I thought about communism. I thought about the 10 principles of communism. They call them the 10 planks of communism. And I was thinking about how in our country, these 10 principles or planks have already been quite established. So I'll take a few minutes and quickly go over those planks or principles. One, abolish all private property. And what private property that remains, to tax it, large tax. Well, that's kind of like it is today. We do have private property that gets taxed. And on that private property, we can only do what the government allows us to do. So is that our property, or is that the government control of all property? Good question. Two, we have, or communism calls for a large graduated income tax. And we have had a very large graduated income tax in the past, but it has gotten a lot less some years ago. But if we consider all the taxes that we end up paying through personal and business areas, we really do have a very large tax that we pay. Three, to abolish the right of inheritance. And going back many years, we did have a very, very large inheritance tax, but then it was changed and the inheritance tax was greatly reduced. Number four, to confiscate the property of all immigrants and rebels. That's a plank of the Communist Party. And we could argue that this has been done through public forfeiture laws. Five, the centralization of credit by the state and a national bank. Well, today, this financial control is widely held by the Federal Reserve System. And through the system of banking that is called fractional reserve system. And that is how money or currency is created. Six, centralization of communication and transportation. Well, we have the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, and we have decades of highway acts, which set in order the monies for the highways and who takes care of them, who owns them. So the highways and freeways now, they do belong to the federal government. So that centralized them. Seven, factories and agriculture are to be instruments of production owned by the state. Well, here again, if they don't have title to the land, they do control what happens on the land with so many laws and regulation. So the government requires this and that, and the property owners do it. So it's a sense, it is in a sense, the factories and agriculture is controlled by the state. Eight, they call it equal liability of labor, which approximately means that those who can pay the most do pay the most, but everybody gets a portion of the benefits. And there are welfare programs and Social Security. Those are examples of this, and so is our national debt, because it supports all the programs which we pay into. Now, That's just a way of saying that it can be viewed as done and already in effect. Okay, 9. Combine agriculture with manufacturing and abolish all societal distinction. Well, it seems like it's moving that way, all right. 10. Free education for all, to abolish child labor. And a part of that could be said that the children will be doing something like going to school if they are not working. So, is a public school system a part of this? Free education for all and abolish child labor? Well, it depends on just how you look at it, just like all of these 10 planks do. But we have to consider that there was the American Communist Party, and they considered the 10 planks of communism to be fulfilled some decades back. It's just very interesting when you recognize that there's a lot of influence on the freedoms that we believe we have. So just have a look at it and examine where our society is today so that we can determine what the next steps are. And by the way, under communism, it's supposed to be so much equality, but really the people who have the power are the ones who determine both what the problems are and how to solve the problems. As the solutions to the problems are put into place, that gives people and groups power. So, just something to consider. We have a Christian society at our basis, and at a time when everybody knew what to do, what was the right and godly, compassionate way to live, society worked well. And that's the way America was for many, many decades. So today, it's a little bit different. We have a different society and a different world, and there's lots of influences on the world. We still have lots of good, but we have lots of evil in the world. And if you look at the authorities that we have put into the world, we have agreed to a degree on the United Nations. And look at what they've done just recently. They created an investigation into North Korea for 35 of its cyber attacks in 17 countries. 35 cyber attacks. In them, North Korea stole over $2 billion by computer transfers. I have a hard time understanding that because I think of how closely guarded those things are. And $2 billion is such a lot of money. We think of $1 million as a lot of money, and it is. But $2 billion is equal to 2,000 million-dollar bills. It's just so much money. How could it happen that money was stolen? I just question it. And I've heard stories about when those big institutions get stolen from, they do not stand up to the little bullies. The little bullies get whacked for stealing big money. So I just can't help but wonder if it was a really and truly a theft, or if people within those institutions acted in agreement to allow North Korea to steal the money. Stranger things have happened. It's not that I can believe one way or the other. I just wonder about it. So, North Korea gets money and they do all sorts of bad stuff with what they have. I don't know how they got the missiles or the ICBMs, but I know that they cost a whole lot of money to put them together. And as far as I can tell, North Korea does not have the facilities to enable them to create a missile. They don't have the large steel manufacturing facilities to roll thick sheets of steel into the shell of a rocket, or to manufacture a rocket engine, or even the rocket fuel. Or how about the advanced gyro stabilizers that you need to have a missile operate? I just don't think they have the facilities to do that. So how did they get those missiles? And I think back to earlier this year, there was an article that talked about how remnants of one of Kim Jong-un's North Korean missiles were found in the ocean, and the pieces were collected, and one of those pieces was a circuit board, and it was full of Chinese writing. So, do you think there's a connection there? Sure sounds like it. China seems to have a hand in whatever North Korea does. Is it missiles? Is it ICBMs? Whatever they are. Could they be coming from China? Yeah, they could. Are they? We don't have proof. Not at our level. We can't tell. But think of what China would get out of the deal. It would get to test its missile systems without being known as testing the missiles by the international community. Interesting. And this is just guesses. I'm guessing. But I've studied history, and I found that very often things are not as they appear. And they probably aren't for North Korea either. So we have to wonder how manipulation occurs. There's so many things in our country and internationally where our attention is being guided and directed, and opinions of the people are being formed. So we should not be surprised at the conditions are not what they appear. So you just keep looking. You look and you try to figure things out. I think you can do a better job than those news people. Those news people seem to be told what to say. And you can tell that by how many of the networks just have the very same words coming out of the news person's mouth. Well, we do have to remember that the situation we are in is a battle between good and evil, and it is going on all around us, in the whole world. Oh, there's a lot of good in the world, but there surely is a lot of bad. I remember some years ago, I just couldn't believe the bad. So I understand that people don't want to look at how bad things really are, but it's real. Yeah, I didn't want to look at how bad things were either, so I understand. Especially, I couldn't stand that people were abused, especially children. I couldn't believe it. But you find out it's there. So what do? We pray, always to pray, and sometimes it is right to act. We pray for God's righteousness, and sometimes we act. So, we want to be sure that we are acting in the way that God would have us to do things. And sure, God is a God of love, but he's a God of righteousness too. And we want to be sure we understand that biblical truth, and to be able to speak biblical truth. But people can only hear so much, and you have to be careful to speak with understanding, so that the person doesn't simply reject your message, but you want to present things in a way that they can hear. I know there's a whole lot of people who just can't hear that there is a heaven and a hell. And somehow we have to make that message understandable too. In the world, there's a lot we deal with. We deal with people struggling. There's a lot of struggle for people with emotional things going on, or even physical things, problems. And prayer is always a good thing. Always remember to pray. As you go to and fro and see something, pray. We have the situations just around us, maybe in our home, maybe on our block, maybe at the next community, like with a campfire. Pray. And then act when it's appropriate. The campfire, there were so many people with losses. You saw kindness and compassion, and you also saw the unpleasantness of people. The campfire brought quite a few of, well, people who stole. And so the police had lots of arrests every day from thieves and vandals at that campfire area. They were trying to take advantage of other people. And just recently, a church shut down its relief efforts because their kindness to feed people and to help was being taken too much advantage of by squatters and druggies. Now, that's what they said. They said squatters and druggies. So we still have to figure out how to show compassion, but let's use wisdom. Let's do it rightly. And I know that we give things out generously sometime, but there's also a passage of those who do not work shall not eat. That's in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And so that's a part of our responsibility too. Somehow we get to figure it out using our intellect. So yeah, do that. There's much wisdom in the Bible, and we search for understanding. It's there, and I hope that you get an overall view and don't just pick out a view here, or I should say a verse here and a verse there. Because if we do that, we can make the Bible say what we want it to say instead of what it does say. So another good thing is to pray before you read the Bible. Pray that God gives you understanding that He would have you to have. There's a lot of people who want to pick and choose verses and make the Bible say what they want you to hear. Like I mentioned cults a few minutes ago. Lots of cults do this. They pick and choose verses out of the Bible to try to influence you, to follow them instead of God and the Bible. So here in California, we have thousands of cults. Now, sometimes there's just a few people, and sometimes there are hundreds or thousands of people in that cult. And thousands are present. In California, right where we live, a lot of times they want to influence you to join, and they can take advantage of what you have to offer, your emotional support, your financial support, and what you can do for them. But like I said, safeguard yourself by knowing Scripture. That's the big thing. Know Scripture. And by the way, cults very often will change a scripture, either a word in it, or they will interpret it in a way that is outside of Bible interpretation. They change things to suit them and they say, oh, this is what the Bible says, well, be really careful about that. You know, the Bible says so many times, be not deceived, and don't be deceived by a cult. You know, our hearts, it wants to have a connection with God loving us, and for us to give God worship. That's what we want. As we acknowledge who God is, we worship Him and we love Him and thank Him for loving us. So if we are not pursuing God, or if we're pursuing a false God with false gifts, well, I don't think it counts. I mean, can you imagine? Let's see, here's an example. If you make your mortgage payment every month, but you send it to the wrong bank, do you think that bank the bank that you owe the loan to is going to say, oh, you paid your loan, it just went to the wrong bank? Nope. They are going to say, we didn't get your money, and so your payments don't count. And I kind of think of that as a parallel to if we worship the wrong God. If our attention of our time and money and love is going to the wrong God, it doesn't count. God is the God of the Bible, and we have to know who our God is and how to give Him thanks and love and worship. So we want to make sure we understand. We want to make sure we know what the truth is. Here in America, we have an average lifespan of 78 years. That's like 28,000 days. So if we have 28,000 days of life expectancy, don't you think it would be a good investment to spend a few of those days, even 100, even 1,000, to make sure that we are following what is true, to follow the right God, and to not be deceived? So, yeah, put a few of those 27,000 days towards pursuing God and to knowing that you know the truth. Read the Bible. The truth is in the Bible. I prefer the King James Version or the New King James Version because often enough the other versions, they will take the deity of God away a little bit by using a less holy word or term for our holy God. Well, it's something to be aware of. Whoa, I think of, there's John chapter 15. That comes to my mind, where God prunes trees, and the pruned trees will bear much fruit. Just as through Jesus Christ, we get pruned here in life. And we get changed a little bit and adjusted, and we grow in a improved direction by God's direction. Yep. So we do this so that we can have joy with God and joy with one another. And, well, I like John chapter 15 a lot, but there's other parts to the Bible too. It's a big book. There's a lot to it. And one of those things in John chapter 15, somewhere close to verse 20, is that they have persecuted me, so they will persecute you. And that's a part of the Christian walk too. And a lot of people say persecution makes the church stronger and brings people to it. Recently, Franklin Graham said that Christian persecution would be coming to our country. Yeah. There's people who've been saying that for 10 or 20 years. And we want to say, no, we're going to be fine. But I don't know about that. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of worldly laws coming into effect, and we think of the financial things and how we're affected, but it's really our entire life that is affected by so many of the things, and includes the persecution or the laws. There's a lot of people who would be happy to persecute Christians because they see that if people convert to Christianity, they ought to be killed. I know there's a lot of trouble in India with such things happening by the Hindus to the Christians, and where in countries where Islam dominates, Christians are often attacked or killed, and some few will get to pay a tax called the jizya just to be allowed to live there. Well, the world is changing, and we better pray for the Christians, especially Christian missionaries in the world. In Russia, Christian missionaries are no longer welcome. In fact, they are greatly restricted in their activities. Now, in China, Christians are also greatly restricted from their missionary activities. Now, China does restrict a lot of religions. They just don't seem to want a competition with who the people are obedient to. So, China has restricted the Falun Gong religion, and they have restricted the Islamic Uyghurs. And those two groups are really, really persecuted, even to the point of death. Sometimes they are just forced into a new location. Well, that's just normal for China, because China does what it wants with its own population. China has a big scoring system where when you do what they consider good, you are rewarded, and when you do bad, you're punished. So this computerized reward system is done by the card they get, access to things, and by being watched all the time. They're watched on cameras all over the place. And if you're not doing some good stuff, good social responsibilities, then you are restricted. For instance, your electronic pass might not allow you to buy an airline ticket, or it might not allow you to travel by bus beyond your neighborhood. Oh, and that's how they travel. So many have traveled by bus and not by car. Well, anyway, you are restricted to where you can go, and you're restricted in what school you can attend or what your employment possibilities are. It's just China. That's the way it is. It is so full of restrictions. Restrictions and penalties. There are so many cameras in China, and if you are caught jaywalking or littering, well, you're penalized because you can't get things with your national card. And that's just the way it is. They force you into becoming a socially responsible citizen according to their specifications. Like, are you visiting your elderly parents? Are you giving to the poor? Are you volunteering for government programs? Well, in China, the state is really in control in a big way. The Chinese government teaches only parts of its own history to its people. It teaches the parts it wants known, and it eliminates the parts that it doesn't want known. Like they're taught about China's Chairman Mao. Nobody knows that he murdered tens or hundreds of thousands of Chinese people who did not agree with him politically. That's just not known. And nothing is known about the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989. It's not known that the Chinese government killed thousands of people who were protesting that. Of course, it's not public information. It's not on the news. Nobody knows, but sources say that 10,000 protesters were killed during that event. Tiananmen Square was a big event to Western media, but in China, it wasn't talked about on the media, on the news. And so today, nobody even is aware that Tiananmen Square happened 30 years ago. Nobody knows, even though there was as many as 1 million people who participated in it. 1 million Chinese people. But compared to a population of 1.3 billion, 1 million people is not so much, not even a percent of the population. So it gets kind of easy to cover it up. And that's what they did. The Chinese government covered up that Tiananmen Square ever existed. In 1989, the Chinese government bought a camera, very special, high-resolution camera from a Danish company, which I don't remember the name of, but they bought that camera and put it up in Tiananmen Square. And so, of those roughly 1 million pro-democracy people, 90% of those marchers were identified and visited by the Chinese government people. And so those people were strictly warned, and some of them were even put into jail for opposing their government. If they were the leaders of it, many of them went to jail. So we don't know about the death penalty and how that happened because, like I said, China is a closed society. They don't tell you what really happened. They tell you what they want to tell you. There's no free press, and there's no independent journalists. So it's different here, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's different here, but there still is a degree of controlled media in the United States. We argue about how much control there is, but there is control. I think of the number of news stations that say the same story with the same words, exactly the same. And so you know that the newscasters are told to say something just so and using the very same words. What do you say? It's just interesting. Well, we think of China as being tracked and monitored and profiled. And do we realize that we in this country are also tracked, monitored, and profiled? It's here. That's the way it is. There's so much tracking and profiling. There's no surprises. We are known. We are recorded. Every conversation that we make is recorded by telephone, or who knows, maybe by cell phone. I mean, we are tracked and listened to. Our cell phones pick up conversations, and we know very well that if we speak about something or wanting to buy something, we could very well get a message that day or the next day about what it is we were talking about to buy. So, yes, our cell phones record what we say. And there's cameras all over in every big city. When you're in the big city, take a minute to look at the freeways. The freeways have a camera every single mile. And, yeah, who knows what they record? I don't know. But we are being recorded and tracked in a big way. Just do what you can to stay faithful to God, because God watches over us. Hey, God watches us more than any cameras do, and He records everything that we say and everything that our heart thinks, responds to. So, more than any smartphone would, that's for sure. God knows our heart, and so we want our heart to be pure and clean, holy. That's what we want. Have every thought in our life be holy. Now, we all start out someplace, and we all end up someplace. So the point is start on it and do your very best to be faithful to God and holy. That's what you want. Have that heart be pure. So we do see the situations right in front of us, and we react to them. And that's just a part of how life goes. So hope that people get to know Jesus. See, that's a part of what we're to do too, is help each other to know Jesus. So I was just thinking about 10 months ago, I had an unusual experience, which I was talking to, just talking, and twice in a row on the very same day, two different ladies told me, be careful, get ready for what's coming, get ready for what's coming. And I thought how odd that was, because I tell people to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. But here I was being told to get ready. Two people, two different people on the same day. Just, yeah, it got my attention. And now just a few days ago, I had another little experience where I was told about a vision of the world that had just, that very day happened, and the world was getting covered with swirling black clouds. And the idea was a storm is coming. So yeah, what do we do? A storm is coming. We pretty well know it. Look at the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. They all tell you that some pretty serious times are coming. Whew, yep. Earthquake, famine, and war. Rumors of war. Pestilence. Oh, anyway. Lots of things are going to be happening, and don't you worry, because God put you here for a time such as this. You can handle it. He put you here, and you can handle it. But we do want to remember to speak the good news of the Bible. The gospel is good news, so keep that in your heart and share it when you can. Even in the midst of troubles that are coming, they are coming, we don't know when. We have to kind of go by our understanding and our senses and what they tell us, what our intellect tells us. We don't know, but it's better to get prepared a year too early than a moment too late. So remember that for the physical aspects of preparedness, and also the spiritual aspects for preparedness. Be prepared for eternal life, and that we want to go to heaven and not to hell. And we do that by accepting God's free gift to us through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross where he died. And when we accept his free gift, we are forgiven the eternal consequences of our sins. And when we repent and turn from these our sins, and we are born again. Born again. Read John chapter 3. That talks about it. And then we are saved from hellfire. And how thankful we are that we can escape that. So, study it out. Think about those 28,000 days of life that we have. And be determined to spend a couple of those days studying the truth in the Bible. And how the Bible is true And the other religions of the world, they're not. Just have a look, have a study. You have some time to do it, but do it. The Bible is the supreme truth. So, what's coming? It tells us about that too, and we don't quite know what or when, but we know we want to get ready for all of it. Do a little bit to get ready, because like I said, we don't know if what's coming is going to arrive in 5 minutes or 5 years or even 105 years. No, there's a lot of people who see the signs and they will tell you it's coming quickly. But to know it, that's not the same. We don't know it, but we do know preparation is a good thing. So to get prepared, what do we want? Water and food? Well, that's always important. And for water, for food, for a few other things, I have the free list to anybody who writes me. I give it away. Just write me. I'll tell you the address at the end of this broadcast. And I talk about things that we just might need, like water and food and what you want in your house for tools and supplies. And whatever you have, it's good. All sorts of things are good. And some people think of having gold and silver. Well, sure. Feel free to have gold and silver if you can. It's a good thing, too. But most people can't. And there's a lot of people these days lately, in the last months and couple of years, who have been questioning if our economy will survive, if our nation can even survive with a fallen economy. People are wondering if even their benefits, like from Social Security and Medicare, if they are going to be available in the future. Because if the system collapses, it's a big collapse, and everyone is affected. Just look around and think of all the countries in the past that have had collapses in the last 20 years, 50 years, or 100 years. Economies have collapsed. Countries have gotten new money, and people have gotten poorer, but they have survived. So look at what happens in a small way and in a big way, and you just think about how you would survive through an economic crash. And I know I've talked about these things in the past, but they're real. And right now, there's people who talk about it. And of course, it gets my attention when they do. So I talk to you about it. A couple of days ago, I came across a note, which might be why this is on my mind also. From a year ago, it's August 15th, 2018. And I wrote down what the price of gold and silver was. That, here, let's see. Gold was at a year and a half low, and silver was at a 2-year low. And at that time, gold was $1,183 an ounce. And today, gold is $1,500 an ounce. At that time, a year ago, silver was $14.42 an ounce. Today, it is $17 per ounce. So, it could go down, and it could go up. And it could go up a whole lot more because of the economic instability in the world. It's kind of a guess, but I think it's a good form to have some of your money, let's call it money, or you could say wealth, have some of your money wealth held in the precious metals, because it's a hedge against inflation. So have a little bit of it. It's a good idea. Don't buy it on a piece of paper that says you own the coins. Get the actual 1 ounce bullion coins, or get the historical coins that have been circulated. It's just a good idea to have something as an asset instead of what your normal assets are. Silver and gold are always of universal value, but of course we need other things to live, like clean water and food and tools. And there are more things too, but you get to exercise your mind and think of what they are, and then get a few of them. It's a good idea to have some things, some provisions. It's always a good idea. So have some. Yes. Silver and gold comes in those bullion coins, and that, I think, is the best way to have them. Those are well-known, and they are well-defined. They have an exact weight, and that's how they can tell their genuine coins that have been manufactured, because they have an exact weight, and they have a feel to them. And a person, a dealer who is experienced in that, can know. Now, I don't have anything to do with it. I don't sell them or get any benefit from it. I just think it's a good idea to have a few, because they will retain value if everything else goes downhill, like if we have a recession or a depression. Gold and silver always have a value, and it is easily known. It's a price known throughout the whole world. Everybody can find out what that spot price is in New York or London or anything else. And that's what determines the price of every coin, silver or gold, that is sold. So just think about it. Think about another asset if you want to. Oh, and of course there's other ones, like I said, tools, medical supplies. Real estate, if it's paid for, can be a good asset. And food is a good asset, too. A way to purify water. Now, I have heard of people who have said that tobacco and alcohol are good things to have, but I wouldn't have them. And you have to determine if you want them or not. I just think that you don't want to have people who are desperate for alcohol and tobacco around your people. Nope. I would rather deal with someone who holds Christian values and likes healthy food and Bibles. That's what I would like to have around me. Not addictive substances. So get the foods that last. And those foods are, they're pretty much grains. That's what you want. Oh, I have the list of grains, and that's, if you send me the stamped self-addressed envelope, I'll get that right back to you, what I see as what to have on hand. And look over lists, because the lists make it easy to get your thoughts together and decide what you want to have or what you don't want to have. It's just, all of it's a good idea to look over and examine and to make some determinations about. If there ever is a crisis, and I think there will be, if there is a crisis, we do have to be careful, concerned about people who are emotionally hurt and displaced. And I know we had the campfire and we dealt with people who were displaced, people who were hurting. But if there is a great big catastrophe in this nation or in this world, we will be dealing with a brand new level of a very great hurt, a lot of grief. And we have to think about how to deal with people who have hurt and grief in their life. Yeah. People have lost precious things, and that's just what happens in life. It happens all the time. So just have a look at it and think about the concerns that you might have to deal with. That's what we always do. There's lists all over the place, but we have to look at them. FEMA has a list. It's a list of 3 days of food and water, and it includes things like a radio and flashlights and a medical kit and a whistle, trash bags, natural gas shut off to your home, a paper map because your computer might not work, and can opener and phone charger. That's the things that are on the FEMA list, and you can add to that all sorts of things like your basic foods. I know, I think of whole grains, sugar, salt, and oil. Whole grains last and last. So get some things, get some hand tools and other things. Warm clothes are important. Bibles. Oh, and batteries and the personal needs that you have. Get some of those things all together in one place. Start a place where you can keep those things, and then you just keep adding to it. Everybody has a little different thought. It can be cooking things and cooking utensils. Of course, water purification. That's important. It can be things for recovery, like nails and screws, a screwdriver and a hammer. All those things are good. They're the basic tools, and they will come in handy if there ever is a collapse of some sort or a natural disaster like a hurricane or an earthquake. Those things are needed and necessary. So have a few of them on hand for the just in case. I also say a post hole digger in case you need to dig a latrine. And antidiarrheal pills and vitamins. But that water purification, that one is really important. And you get to figure out just what to do. Warm clothes from the warm weather, clothes from the cold weather, and of course, at night. You want to stay warm enough during the night. All sorts of things. Just think about it. To get my full list of preparedness things, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and write to me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So thank you for listening today, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.